here, Alderman Seaver, Alderman Funkhauser, staff. There's people in Zoom and out in the audience, in the tenants. After some citizens' comments, do you have a problem with moving 6, 7, and 8 next? 1.5 miles? Or no, 5, 6, 7, 8, 6, 7, then go to 5 with the cannabis?
Yeah.
Alright. So, any citizen comments? Anybody on Zoom?
Nope.
Alright. And we'll move minutes for correction approval. I'm good with them. Everybody else?
Okay.
Alright. We'll go to 1.5 miles reviews. EDC 2024-68, County Petition 24-26, 1.5 miles review. 11-327 and 11-209 River Road.
Yes, so Timothy A. Terrain is requesting a rezoning for 3.6 acres between 11-327 and 11-209 River Road from R1 One Family Residential District to R3 One Family Residential District to construct approximately 2 new single family homes. The property is located within Lot 1 of Glenn Nelson Subdivision and is immediately west of Yorkville's corporate boundary, 0.94 miles from the White Oak Estate Subdivision. The property was rezoned in 2007 from the A1 Agriculture District to the R1 One Family Residential District. And then due to the property being less than 10 acres in size, the property is eligible for rezoning under Section 10 or under Section 807H of Kendall County Zoning Ordinance. And then although the names of the zoning districts are similar, there are significant differences in density between the two districts that are shown in the packet. But just for a quick, the primary differences are lot size and lot coverage. R1, the minimum lot size is 130,000 square feet, while the R3 is 45,000 square feet. And then Yorkville's 2016 comprehensive plan designation for the property is estate / conservation residential, and the proposed addition of approximately 2 new single family homes is consistent with Yorkville's corporate or comprehensive plan due to the low density nature of the proposed development. Staff is seeking input from EDC, and this item will be brought to PZC on October 9th and then to City Council on October
22nd.
Just real briefly, it was over, what's shown as lot one is over 3 acres, closer to 4. The back lot was wooded with nice mature trees, and it's a larger lot, got sold right away. Mr. Nelson still lives in lot 3, and he has no objection, nor does lot 2. The two lots we split are totally open. They're not mature trees on them, and the people looking at them don't want to mow that much lawn as a 4.5 acre lot. Tim plans on using the front lot, which is 90-some thousand square feet himself, and just selling the back acre and a half. So they're still nice, generous lots, and they're served with a private road.
Okay, with it, anybody else?
Alright.
Move on to EDC 2024-69, Kendall County Petition 24-27, 1.5 mile review, 5862 and 5834 Championship Court.
So the petitioner is Steve W. Jeffers on behalf of Resolution Investments LLC, and they're requesting an approval of a plat of vacation to vacate the public easements between lot 110 and 111 in the Whitetail Ridge subdivision for the purpose of constructing a home in the center of the lots. And then the real property is located at 5862 and 5834 Championship Road. It's platted as 2 separate plots totaling around 67,000 square feet, and it's 2.3 miles east of the Prestwick of Ashley Point subdivision. The county's engineering consultant, WBK Engineering, reviewed the vacation and doesn't oppose, and as well as the Whitetail Ridge Homeowner Association is agreeable to the request. Again, the Yorkville 2016 Comprehensive Plan designation is estate slash conservation residential, and then the current land use with the open space golf court and the proposed detached single family home on the 1.5 acre lot is consistent with Yorkville's comprehensive plan, and staff reviewed the request for easement vacation and does not oppose the request, and we are bringing this item to PZC on October 9th and then to City Council on October 22nd.
Yeah, thank you, Dan.
Just allows a big house in the middle of two lots, so the school district will be happy with the tax revenue.
Is this the third?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm fine with it. Anybody else not fine with it? All right.
Thank you very much for your time this evening. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll move on to EDC 2024-67, Consumer Cannabis Dispensary Special Use and Variances.
Okay, so the petitioner is Steve Weber. He's here on behalf of PTS Corp. They are the contract lessee for the site. Fort Smith FD Partners is actually the owner of the site. They are also in conjunction with this application. So the special use is required because the cannabis ordinance that Yorkville adopted requires these uses to be reviewed at a higher level, which would be the special use authorization process, and the dispensary business is permitted within the B3 general business district. So this property is zone B3. It's on about 1.3 acres. It's located at 1508 North Bridge Street, which has had former restaurant uses there. Their request is in addition to the special use. They are seeking three variances. One has to decrease the minimum distance that the cannabis has to be from an existing school or religious institution from 500 feet to 450 feet. They are seeking to change the permitted hours of operation that were adopted by the city for these uses. So they're looking to open an hour early and close an hour later, Monday through Saturday. So instead of 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., they're looking at 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And then on Sunday, they're going to open 2 hours earlier than what's permitted and close an hour later. So instead of 12 to 5, they're looking at 10 to 6 p.m. And the third item that they're requesting a variance for is relief from the one wall mounted sign for cannabis cannabis businesses. The city decided to only allow the one signage. It was silent on ground mounted signs, but for wall mounted signs, it was one. This is a little bit different from the B3 general business district uses, so they're asking to be treated similar to other B3 uses. The structure itself is going to maintain its same size and be some interior layout changes. It was built in 1988. They are doing some exterior updates that is consistent with the appearance code. They will be maintaining the parking lot. One of the recommendations from the engineer is to upgrade the parking lot. If anyone has been there, it is in need. As far as the use itself, the cannabis dispensary organizations are limited to one per city ordinance. So if this one is approved, it will be the only facility permitted for a dispensary in the entire city. Our ordinance does prohibit on-premise consumption, and we additionally recommended that the petitioner post signs inside of the establishment stating as such. The minimum land use separation of 500 feet, which is what they're requesting a variance from, is in regard to a specific land use, which is the Parkview Christian Academy. It is a school, but it's in the B3 zoning district. They are looking for a separation, a reduction to 450, but their actual separation will be about 460 feet, lot to lot. So I misspoke earlier, Matt Merrick, when I said 440, it's actually 460, just to clarify that. There's a map in your packet that shows the different land uses and a table that talks about the separation distances. In regards to bulk, they are consistent and meet all the B3 requirements for setbacks. The ordinance does require that cannabis uses have a maximum gross floor area of 5,000 square feet. The site itself is about 2,700 square feet, and they will utilize 100% of it for the cannabis use. There is an existing driveway on the property, drive-through on the property. Per our ordinance, drive-through facilities and e-commerce delivery platforms are prohibited for cannabis dispensary organizations. They did mention that they acknowledge that there will be no e-commerce services and that they will not be requesting drive-through use at this time. If the petitioner does seek to utilize a drive-through feature, it will be required to have another public hearing to vary that portion of the ordinance. And then signage, talking about the signage itself, they presented a signage package. There are two inconsistencies with what B3 zone permits and what cannabis dispensary ordinances allow. They are allowed one wall sign, they're seeking two. The wall signs that they are proposing are consistent with the B3 zoning requirements, and the monument sign, they did not provide any specificity on landscaping, so staff is requiring per the ordinance that if they do utilize the monument sign, that they do provide 15 square feet of sign based landscaping. Jumping down to the hours, they mentioned the reason why they're requesting the variance is because of their two closest competitors. Put that in the packet. Their nearest competitor, Oswego, does allow similar 9 to 9 hours that they are requesting. Comprehensive plan is consistent with the existing B3 land use. And we did a little research of other communities that have adopted ordinances for cannabis dispensary organizations from 10 other municipalities in the area. And generally, the range of 500 feet that the city currently has is consistent with the average of those communities. However, the range can go as low from 200 feet to 900, almost 1,000 feet, for proximity to schools. Given the petitioner's request and our cap of one dispensary per the city, a reduction in the minimum required distance, which is about 10%, is consistent with other approved dispensary locations in other municipalities. The petitioner, at the request of staff, did hold a community meeting prior to this meeting tonight. It was on September 12th at the Hampton Inn from 4 to 6. According to the petitioner, they provided an attached sign-in sheet. No members of the public were present. However, we did receive feedback from an attorney representing Parkview Christian Academy, who I believe is online, who submitted a written objection to the proposed cannabis dispensary on August 20th, and the petitioner's attorney did provide a written response, which was provided in your packet. There's an additional special use considerations that the petitioner has agreed to. They're documented in your memo. If you have any questions, feel free, and I can go over some of those items that regards to a business plan and licensure. But other than that, staff is scheduled for a public hearing on October 9th, and it should be back at City Council soon thereafter. The petitioner here is willing to answer any questions that you may have. I don't think they have a presentation, so it's more or less an introduction of the company.
Good evening. My name is Terry Peterson, and I'm the CEO of PTS Corp. First of all, let me just thank the staff, and thank you for taking time to consider our request today. I'd like to introduce some of the team members here. As mentioned, Steve Weber is over government affairs and also business development. Mitch Kay is our general counsel, and Mike Greco is the head of operations. Again, you know, we're excited about the opportunity to come to Yorkville. This a beautiful community, and we would like to, again, just be a good neighbor and work with the community. And again, I just want to thank everyone for just taking time out of their busy schedule to consider our request this evening. And again, if there are any questions, more than happy to answer them.
If I may, my name is Tony Sonnenberg. I think, as was pointed out, I'm the counsel, my firm is counsel for the Parkview Christian Academy. And I just wanted to appear and reiterate the Academy's objection to this cannabis dispensary. As was pointed out during the presentation, the dispensary will be located within 500 feet of my client's property. Due to my client's deeply held moral beliefs as a Christian school, They are opposed to the location of the dispensary within such a close proximity to their property. They're not opposed to dispensaries in general. They understand that dispensaries are something that could be provided under the ordinance, but they do object to the location of this particular dispensary at this specific location, so close to the school, in violation of the city ordinance. The academy just wants to reiterate its objection and ask the city council to deny the application.
Noted.
Thank you.
Do you have anything, Dan?
How many dispensaries do you operate right now?
Right now, we have a total of 12.
What are they?
We're in 4 states. We're in Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, and Arizona. Here in the state of Illinois, we've got one, probably the closest one would be St. Charles. We've got one in Antioch. We've got one in Oak Brook Terrace. And then we have one in Chicago. And then we have one in Carbondale downstate and in Marion. So those are the 6 that we've got operating in the state of Illinois.
And have you had some success with municipalities with variances and things like that?
We've had no issues. We can bring letters of support from the mayors of those communities. We've never had one incident in any of our locations.
No.
Trula, do you got any questions?
I have no questions.
Okay.
I read all the material and it's referred to me with the, where I'm at with it, so.
Thank you.
You got any questions?
Just a couple comments, maybe a question. I'm not against dispensaries. I'm of mind, you know, you want to consume, you do what you want to do. You know, it's not my thing, but I'm all for, you know, open market and letting that happen. The only thing that I do have a concern with is, you know, where you are asking for variances. I'm kind of a stickler on signage. That's the first one. So that's where I have an issue with it. Frontage here, you've got great exposure here. If you're doing a freestanding sign plus a front sign or one side of the building, I feel that's sufficient here, knowing the location and the forward position of the building. So
okay.
That one, that's my take on that. Hours, I don't have an issue with your request for the variance on the hours. The last one is the 500-foot deviation. We spent a lot of time years back when we actually approved this based on the state legislature's original criteria. We went and came to the 500-foot. That's kind of my sticking point here, is it is within that. I don't like to grant variances very often, just because, you know, we set the rules, that's what they are, and that's my position on those typically, is, you know, they're set for a reason. So that's I know it's going to Planning Commission next week or
yes,
2 weeks.
Next
week.
Week. Mm-hmm.
So I'll listen to see how it goes for the findings of fact for that one, and yeah, I'll hear that part of it. So I will say, talk to the chief today. I've heard from other police departments. These are very safe, secure operations. I don't have a concern about how it's going to operate or, you know, any detriment to the community. I have no issues with that, because I don't think that that would be the case whatsoever. So in that aspect, no issues whatsoever.
I'm okay with it. Okay, and yeah, the sign variance, not too happy. Yeah, I'd rather just see one than the two, but I don't know that I'll necessarily die in that. The 500 feet, we wrote that ordinance like before it was even 100% legal in the state, right?
We did once the state.
Yeah,
once
I mean, it was
yes,
real right there.
Yeah.
I mean, and what was that, several years ago?
18, 19?
Yeah,
19.
Yeah,
4 or 5 years
ago.
Right.
And
that was our
right.
Being as flexible as we could, right?
I mean, if you're like 200 feet, I might have a problem with it, but that close, and then the buildings aren't farther than 500 feet apart, so I'm okay with that. Yeah, we'll see what happens when it comes back in front of us, I guess.
Does anyone know if the state's laws have changed since we wrote it? Because again, it was...
That could very well be.
Right. I mean, the state has probably modified their rules on locations and all sorts of things since they legalized non-medicinal use cannabis.
I don't know if they've changed any of the distance restrictions as it relates to this, and there isn't a state restriction
right.
as it relates to distance to schools that we've put in.
Right.
So.
And I remember when we did it, we kind of had multiple
yep.
days of maps with
yes.
red and blue and
yeah.
purple together and you know,
right.
really
and trying
little
to determine
slivers throughout.
What do you want to set back from? How far?
Right.
You know, because residential it was 250,
right.
these uses were 500. I think we looked at 750 and 1,000 and just
it eliminated the entirety of the city. So.
Which was not what we wanted to do. However, there was one kicker is after the fact, the school did move to this location. Taking a few of these lots out of what was permitted at the time.
So the school wasn't there when we
Correct.
Came to this conclusion?
Yes.
Okay.
So this entire corridor would have been within permittable distances.
When did the school move?
Years after that?
I was going to say before that.
I thought it was
yeah.
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 I thought they.
Yeah.
Or was it right around the same time?
When Gary was still mayor. So.
Yeah, because they moved in right when we moved out, didn't we?
Right.
Yeah, and he was 19. So.
Okay, so it must have been right around that time, because, yeah, that was. Yeah.
But technically, the school is in B3, which is not.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue.
Yes.
That's what
just
I was just going to bring up was I have a problem with the school being in a B3.
Yeah, that
B3
was your comment, Craig.
Yeah. You know, I'm really torn on this one. I can kind of float either way, but that's, I'm afraid by, with this, now I'm put in a position where is it anytime La Petite Academy wants to come into a B3 zoning, do we allow it, do we not? You know, so, like you said, if it was 200 feet, okay, that's, but we're talking minimal distance, and I don't like where the school's at anyway, so. Yeah.
I mean, but we measure lot lines. We don't measure
right.
So fast.
May I interject? And I put in my response letter, the plain language of your ordinance does actually account for a measurement of facility to property line. So it is something to discuss, and certainly you guys have more background, more information, but genuinely, if you're reading the plain text of your ordinance, it would be 532 feet away, which makes this variance request kind of not even necessary. If it said property line of facility to property line of pre-existing church.
So that's how we measure any.
So staff has considered the ordinance as property line to property line,
yes.
Although the text says from the facility, but it is always measured property line to property
right.
line for separation.
We can clean that up later.
So we have precedent on how we
yeah.
do that, so which I understand what you're saying, but
just want to raise it. And in terms of other communities, just by example, our facility in Arizona is in a heavily Mormon community, and we had asked for a variance request to extend our hours, and we were successful in that and have been operational there for a year with extended hours and just granted it an extension of 5 years. And Mike, it's really all the thanks there.
And if I could just speak to the signage. Basically, we're just trying to replace the signs that were out that Arby's had. There's obviously where the signs were, there was holes in some of the facades, so we're literally just wanting to replace the signs that were already there with our signs.
Okay. Again, that's so objective.
I understand. I still, you know, it's what's written, it's what we have there, and that's what I, you know, I'm not a huge signs guy. We tried to constrict that a little bit because it gets out of hand. One question real quick, going back. We don't permit the drive-through, but I did note, and Christy mentioned it, that you may come back to that at some point.
So
what's the rationale?
So currently, the state, currently, there's been lots of discussion about allowing drive-throughs. You can currently have an enclosed drive-through that has like a man door, where you'd have a man trap, you'd have a front door and a back door that has to allow you in there. We're not requesting that right now. At some point, we do feel that the state will allow to have a normal drive-through, so we're not requesting it right now until the state actually fully approves it. We're not gonna pursue that right now.
Okay, but if that were pursued, that would require a significant site plan change. Man door coming out of the building, parking is there, because the way the configuration is, they're taking the current drive-through lane, parking along the building. So
So there'd have to be significant changes, and we'd have to make sure that that parking and everything still flows and functions.
Well, they would have to be especially used to do that.
Yeah, so it'd be a lot of work. So I'm not too keen on that, just because it's a lot of, granted, there's a lot that goes into the special use for that, so we get to see that.
Randy, you got anything?
Do I hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, so just a point of clarity before, Christy, when we were talking, you did tell me 460 this morning, so which is good. Although I've been accused by my wife of not hearing properly, so it's entirely possible. That was one of the questions I was going to ask that I brought up with now remeasuring it, property line to figure out. Yeah, we're asking for 450 because it's 460, but in reality it's over 500 if we're door to door, right? That kind of thing. If I'm talking about the site specifically, and I was talking to Craig about this a little bit earlier as well, I'd like something that can actually stick in there. It isn't there for 2 years, doesn't burn down and not come back. In addition to that, I do like the fact that it's a self-contained parking lot and you can only be northbound to get into there. I do like that for the site. I'm trying to think of some positives as to what makes that potentially an optimal site. So just some additional considerations. In talking to residents about what's your thoughts, what's your considerations, it's I haven't received any apprehension. I've received probably what's best described as indifference. They say, it's in Naperville, it's in Aurora, it's in Oswego, it's in Montgomery. Why not here? They're going there anyway. So that's really all I've heard so far. But outside of any additional questions that I would have, Christy's already addressed that. Chris, you've addressed some of those, and others have addressed it as well.
Kind of look at the building here on the maps. Now, from kind of where Parkview is, I'm looking to see, is there any type of separation, any type of fencing or anything that we could do to kind of keep it? I don't know what their concerns are from the school, but is there something we would want to think about and consider, is maybe separating the property, some type of fencing, some type of a privacy fence. They don't want to see kids, people coming in and out. Is that part of the considerations?
You can't see, there's no...
I do think the academy is fundamentally opposed to the location of the dispensary so close to the school. But in addition to that, the encouragement of the use of cannabis is a concern for the academy. Nothing against the concept of a dispensary in general, but I think the location of the specific dispensary so close to the school is the academy's concern.
Yeah, it looks like there's a bunch of stuff between it and the academy.
Right.
So yeah, so it's like, yeah. Not
they're
visibly
not adjacent.
Okay.
Right. They're not adjacent. There is a public walk up and down 47, which I've seen the students when they come out, they will go from parking lot past the pond down, but it's a public way. We're not going to do anything to impede that.
If you look at the map, Craig, there's the storage unit immediately adjacent to
I've kind of got it right here.
The building.
Yeah.
We could always put up more pods to block them.
And then actually the property that separates where the school is, it looks like it's wood line, tree line on maybe about 3/4 of the west part. I guess that'd be the building where Brennard is at. There's a row of trees separating.
Yeah, I see
so,
that right here.
Yeah, there's not a fence per se, but
there's Aldi too.
And
yeah.
Aldi's in the way
yeah,
too.
Right.
Yeah. So there are properties that separate.
So there's realistically three other properties between this and the school.
Two.
Just
well.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Donuts is his own parcel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dunkin' Donuts is kind of with the storage units. Aldi.
It's in front.
That's really not that close. Okay.
And just a quick reminder, as I'm sure you all know, we are not permitted to sell to anyone under 21. So there's no advertising. We're heavily regulated. There's no flyers being passed around to underage folks or to anyone. So if that's a concern, there's no pushing towards anyone under the age of 21.
and you are required to have armed security during all operation hours.
Yes. Well, we're required to have security, but we actually have armed security
and
try to take
so
it to the next level.
When you receive your shipments in, you have security as well?
Absolutely.
Same thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Imagine that's a lot of money.
It's not
fun.
It's all cash.
All cash.
All cash right now.
All right. So there, what's the next step for them?
PZC on October 9th.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Move on to the normal stuff. EDC 2024-63, building permit report for August 2024.
Hey, Pete is out, so I'm subbing in. We've had 164 single-family detached permits issued this calendar year, which is somewhat consistent with the past 2 years. But this August, we had 13 issued, which is slightly less than what we had this time in August last.
Okay. Any questions on that? All right, EZC 2024-64, building inspection reports for August.
We had 806 total inspections for the month of August. About 80% was done by community development building staff, so about 630 of those inspections were performed in-house. We outsourced about 120 of those, and a small portion were conducted by public works.
Anybody else? All right, property maintenance report for August.
There were two property maintenance cases heard in August. Both were found liable for weeds. And if you have any other questions, feel free to shoot me an email and I'll get any additional information from Pete.
All right.
The only question I have, we can convey this to Peter, whoever. How are we in terms of proactive enforcement? Are we being more reactive to violations, things that we see, or is it just things that we are being brought to?
It's responsive.
Well,
there's a complaint, yeah.
What would it take to get to being more proactive on some things?
Probably a couple.
Theoretically, if you had one staff member.
Right, half is dedicated to inspections, and this other half of the time is dedicated to property maintenance.
I can kind of interject in that too, because I had the same question. I spoke with Pete about this couple of months ago. He also said that there was some direction from some higher ups that they weren't going to be driving around looking for that, that they were only going to respond to ones that were called in they weren't looking for.
The mayor prefers us to be inspecting and dealing with issues, you know, as people complain about them rather than looking for issues. Yeah.
I'm fine with it that way.
So we just turn a blind
eye. The fire department are getting a little long.
I wouldn't say that they don't see something out, that they don't report it themselves, you know, or make a note of it per se, but yeah, it's not an active, let's go out and patrol it every, you know, day.
No,
every,
and I'm not saying
few hours
that's what they do, but if they're out and about and they see something, because there are things that I know that come across. If they're in certain areas inspecting and they go by it time after time for,
yeah,
you know, building inspections, it should be noted here at some point, you know, and I get they're all busy doing their job
sure.
of inspections, but it does appear that direction's been very clear not to do any windshield time.
That's it. All right. Economic development.
Okay, you have my report in your packet, and we are getting a tropical smoothie cafe, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, over by Walgreens. So it'll be a nice addition. It's healthy choices. And we did do that groundbreaking today over at Fox Hill Senior Apartments. Very, a lot of excitement in the air. Great event.
EDC 2024 resolution approving the agreement for the economic development consulting services with DLK LLC.
Yep, Lynn's contract is up at the end of the year. So we did talk to her, determined that she would like another 3-year contract, which we agreed to, at least on a staff level anyway. Last contract was the first time since 2015 that we had any change in her hourly rate. We increased it, I think it was 0.68 or 0.67, you know, each year thereafter. So this being a higher inflationary, period, she asked for 3%. We agreed with that, so we felt that that was reasonable. Brings it up to an hourly rate of 148, no, sorry, 150, to 160 by 2027 from 150 currently. There's no other changes. It's still set up as a 15-hour minimum, although I think that she's working probably a little bit more than that from time to time, which then results in the quarterly true-ups, which this time did increase to about $14,000 per quarter from the last average in the last term was about $12,000 per quarter. So we do have this money budgeted. We do recommend approval. If it's okay with you, Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
So Lynn did let us know that this expects to be her last contract. Mm-hmm. So we will have to have some sort of discussion over the next 3 years about what we're going to do long term. And that can be a variety of options, from finding another consultant to a direct replacement, to bring somebody from in-house that we either have on staff now or we'd have to hire. And that's a conversation I would expect to have probably a year and a half from now to give us plenty of time to transition. In the meantime, as I've mentioned to some of you, we do have in-house employees that are currently shadowing her or participating in meetings or just taking some of the more mundane tasks off of her plate, so that we've got people who are just being cross-trained in different recruitment services. That way we have options going forward depending on what we choose to do. So with that, we recommend approval and happy to take any questions.
I will be 70 years old. I was 42 when I started, I think. So it will be many years. I started in the year 2000, so it will be 27 years. So that's the reason why. 70 is like...
You're done. Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah. I think it's long enough.
I'll be long retired.
Have we got anything?
I'm not going to object to this, but this is getting to the financial point of us, for me, it's kind of a tipping point to say we need to bring it to a full-time in-house position, because Lynn, I know, you never wanted this to be a full-time position year-round, and being basically a 0.6 FTE, half-time, that's about where it's at. I know Oswego has a full-time in-house position. They're full package is about $150,000+. So we're right in that threshold of, Lynn, you're doing a good job for us. We're a half position. A full position would be almost the same amount, but we get a legacy value of that. So I think it is that at that time for me to start really considering, we got to bring it. Either Lynn, you can come in full time for us.
I do work, just so you know, I do have to speak up for this one point, is that I do work full time. I work between 40 and 50 hours a week. I just don't, I'm being honest, okay? And I track those hours, and I did tell Bart that I can give you all the hours that I actually work. I just hold it, and I'm a very fortunate person that I am in a position to be able to say, I want to do this for my community. But I am working between 40 and 50 hours a week, every week, except if I'm on vacation. And if I'm on vacation, then I still actually work,
yeah.
I am working, just so you know. It is a full-time position. No one could do this part-time. I don't have enough hours in the day, in the week, many times.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
Once this contract is done, we'll have to hire...
It's a full-time position.
Yeah.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So, good luck with that in a year. Thanks.
You think the mayor's going to let you just ride off into the sunset?
I don't know.
I don't think he's a choice.
Joker on me. No
way.
Sorry. It'll all work.
How about if you train this person for the next 6 years?
You're on call. That's
you're
what we
on call.
Just have you on call.
I think she'd be better off just being full-time than being on call with him.
John did try to tell me, no, you said 75. You were going to work until 75. And I'm like, what? No, I didn't say 75.
ABC 2024-71. Change order request.
Okay, so this is for the Conoco Minolta Scanning Project for community development. We are like 90% there. We did this project in two phases. If you recall, the first phase was a budget of approval about $136,000. That phase was for the current residential and commercial building permit files. Those are all scanned, 100% done. The estimate came back that we would be under budget by about $35,000, but when they went into the files and realized the number that we crammed in those files and the size, we only had a savings of about $8,000. So phase two, which is project two, which is three phases, so it's the engineering files, the subdivision files, and then all of our archive, commission, and project files. That is 90% complete, but we ran into an overage. So we are seeking a $34,000 budget amendment. This will finish out the project, get them back to us. We'll put them in cold storage, and the consultant has offered to not exceed a certain amount, the $15,300. So regardless of how many files are in this, they will not exceed that budget amount. We do have the money already in this fiscal year's budget available, so just asking to close it out.
The only question I have, so the memo says a miscalculation in the number on their part.
Mm-hmm.
So contractually, was there anything in the contract that identified this or had an out on either side?
No.
I'm just asking.
Because
we agreed to a unit price, and
correct,
it was an estimate of number of documents.
Correct.
And apparently we're really good at stuffing documents into folders and boxes. So.
And so they do have a legitimate out on it?
Yeah
they
okay.
do.
Because I just want to make sure.
It's per page, the contract is
okay.
per page.
Because it's per page based on their, even though they didn't calculate
yeah,
it correctly.
They were
the same thing.
Actually right in the beginning at the $136,000, but then they came back and thought, number-wise.
I mean, another $34,000, you know, for them to not count right. Not, you know.
But if we don't do it, we start over.
Yeah, then we just have, pile of un...
We're a few documents short, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, but we're almost there.
We want it done.
Yeah.
This has been a long time. I've not been an advocate for this, so.
Yeah, I agree.
Get it done. We'll cut $35,000 elsewhere.
Anybody else?
I'm sure. That was a little too quick.
Oh, man.
So this goes to City Council. If you want it on consent, or do you want it
on consent? It's on being scheduled for 2025.
You only have one issue, and that is Election Day, April 1st, 2025. So. The recommendation based on past practice has been to do it on April 2nd, so the Wednesday, the day after Election Day. You certainly can hold it the day of. There's no prohibition on doing so. Just usually you'd rather be anywhere but here on Election Day. So.
Hope I don't have an opponent, so I don't care, but we can move
I'm
it.
I'm not running.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I don't care.
We'll move it.
We can move it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Wednesday's fine.
Sure, nobody
here.
Right?
Oh.
It's all good. What does Mr. Merrick think? Because he could be on EDC next year when he's waiting for his results to come in.
No, it's up to you. It's up to you guys. If you want to make it a surprise, you just let me know. So.
We'll make it at Wednesday. It's okay.
That one's a Saturday at 8 p.m.
Right.
Just for you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Now, old business. Any additional business? Cool. We're out of here.
That's it.
Wait.
I just have one question on the economic development report. I noticed that Gerber Collision rolled off the report. Is there any
there is no update on Gerber Collision. They're just
they're
kind of spinning their wheels, so I took them off. But the sign
no,
is
no
there.
No pun intended.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Lynn,
yeah.
Well, do you know what the cost implication is to go around their issue of the connection through the private property and go to the city connection? Do you know how much that costs?
I don't know. That would
no,
be
that's
a Brad
question.
Question. That would be
Brad. I think we looked into that, but I can reach out to Brad.
I mean, it'd be interesting to know what it is to facilitate that, because I know that's their their problem is big price.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Not sure, but
I guess we're out of here at 6:45. Thanks.